Today's scripture will be read by Courtney from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4.
Today's scripture is read from Romans 8, 1 through 4, and it reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and had to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. So we had a little bit of a later start this morning with our worship and praise music, and then we had a little bit extra time of sharing of joys and concerns. So my sermon, this message, will be in two parts, part one this Sunday and then part two next Sunday. We do continue to talk about forgiveness, and we're focusing this morning on the importance of being able to forgive yourself. Let us pray. Loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that these words speak your truth, and that we reflect on the word as you speak to us and reveal your will for us. For Lord, we know that we continue to learn and grow from the word that we hear and the way that you speak to us. And we ask, Lord, that our reflections be acceptable in your sight, because Lord, you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So this morning the focus is about the importance of forgiving yourself. We talked about these past Sundays about learning how God forgives us, about the importance of forgiving others, and this morning we're going to talk about the importance of forgiving ourselves. I think it is one of the most hardest things that we have to do. Maybe it's easy for us to forgive others, and we are filled with joy when we know that God forgives us, but when we think about forgiving ourselves, it is not the thing that we are so easily able to do. When my sister was about 8 months pregnant, she was visiting Phil and I at our home. And in front of our home, we have two steps that go down to the sidewalk out at the front door. And these steps you think is simple, it's just two steps, but they're kind of odd because each step is about 3 feet long. So you walk down a step, and then 3 feet later, there's another step. And a lot of people don't see or expect that second step. Even my sister, who'd been to our house many times, didn't expect that step. So she tripped and fell. And you can imagine my fear as I saw her fall. It was kind of like an accident in slow motion, seeing my 8-month pregnant sister fall down that step and be on the ground flat on her bottom. And I was so fearful, and we brought her into the house. Her ankle hurt. We called her boyfriend right away, and Phil brought ice out. And I said, "Let's take her to the hospital. Let's go to the emergency room. Let's do something right away," because I was fearful for her and the baby. And my sister was so calm, and she said she was fine. And then her boyfriend came and took her home, and they did go to the hospital the next day, and the baby was okay, and everything was fine, and my sister went on with her life. But not me. I felt so guilty for that. I then said to my sister, "You never leave your house again. I'll buy you all your groceries. Until that baby comes out of your stomach, nothing is going to happen to you ever again," because I felt so guilty and I could not forgive myself. Because when we had moved into that house, I myself had tripped down that step. The men who brought the refrigerator into our house had tripped on that step. I know other people have tripped on that step, and I had always wanted to do something about that. Maybe put reflective tape or put an extra mat so people are kind of warned. Something. So I just felt so guilty. I was not able to forgive myself. When we talk or think about what we've done wrong, we tend to do that to ourselves, to feel so bad, to be our own worst critic, that the guilt then weighs us down. But God does not want us to be weighed down with guilt about ourselves, and God wants us to be able to forgive ourselves when we do wrong. But how, you wonder, might we accomplish that? I want us to think about three things when we talk about being forgiving, able to forgive ourselves. First, we must change our belief system. Second, we must understand about God's divine forgiveness. And third, we must, instead of living a life the burden of guilt, live a life instead in Christ and the Holy Spirit. These are three things that we must focus on when we think about forgiving ourselves. And you will see in the back of your worship bulletin space to write notes and three discussion questions following these three things. The first, though, is to change your belief system. We have a belief system where when we do wrong, we do tend to be very critical of our own selves. We do tend to maybe dwell in what we've done wrong because there is no really way of punishment. I guess you could do self-punishment or self-repentance, but it is hard for us to be our own worst critic. We have a tendency to hold ourselves more accountable than we do others. But we must learn to change our belief system and think about forgiving ourselves and how essential it is for our well-being. There's a great quote that says, "When thinking about life, remember there is no amount of guilt that can solve the past and no amount of anxiety that can change the future." When we feel guilt or when we've done wrong, we sort of dwell on that because we do feel guilty, but no, there is no amount that can change the actions of the past. There's no magic ball that rewinds time and changes it just because you felt so great guilt and aren't willing to forgive yourself. And then when you still continue to not forgive yourself, you cause more anxiety, more stress in your life. And anxiety and stress takes time away from more important things about being devoted to family, about being good at work or being a good student, and most importantly, about being in relationship with God. You can't be in a great relationship with God when your life is filled with stress and anxiety. You need to change the way you believe, to believe actually then more in yourself, to change your belief system. When you think about when you've done wrong, it's okay to say, "Yes, I have sinned," to say, "I am a sinner." That is an okay thing to do. And I invite you now, because you know I love doing this, to say out loud, "I am a sinner." Let's say it louder with more conviction. "I am a sinner." And even turn to the next person and admit to them that "I am a sinner. I am a sinner." You must first admit you are a sinner. This is okay. No one is free from the law of sin. And this morning's passage, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the people of Rome, he is reminding them of that. They are human beings made of flesh, created by God, but yes, have committed sin. Because they are human flesh that falls to the sin of the law. And I spoke about this in the past, reminding you that the law is the law of Moses, the law of their ancestors, all the laws that they must follow about how to live lives devoted to God. To take no other Lord's name, and to not take the Lord's name in vain, to not worship other gods, to honor the Sabbath and keep God holy, to not lie or steal or hate or commit adultery or murder against another person. All these laws they must follow. But these were laws of the flesh that they were following. But recognizing that they were human flesh, created by God, and given, yes, even given by God free will, that they in their human flesh form would fall prey to sin. But instead of hiding their sin and not being able to forgive themselves, Paul is saying to the people, pay attention. First, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. You must not condemn yourself. Yes, your flesh has been sinful, but if your spirit believes in Christ, you will receive forgiveness. So you must not condemn yourself. To know that Christ was sent in flesh and human form by God to be a person who would lift up that burden of sins for the people. So it is okay to recognize that, yes, you have sinned, but know that you receive forgiveness of your sins because of Jesus Christ. So you then change your belief system from, "I have sinned and I must bear this burden for the rest of my life," to a new belief system that says, "Yes, still, I have sinned, but Jesus came and gave his own life for my sins." To receive that and to know how wonderful and divine a gift that is from God. And God, throughout the scriptures, even for the ancestors of the Israelites, was always teaching and trying to let them understand about forgiveness. There are many scripture examples about God's divine forgiveness, but it's very hard to find in the Bible scripture passages about forgiving ourselves. There is not real exact wordings about forgiving ourselves. This Roman passage does come close to remind no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. But we do see God's divine example of forgiveness throughout the scripture passage about the many, many times that God forgives us. Some examples are in Jeremiah 31:34, God states that he remembers sins no more. How interesting it is to think about God not remembering sins no more, as if giving people a clean slate to live by. If God can do that for us and our own souls, why can't we do that then for ourselves? To know that God, yes, will not remember sins no more, but wants us to continue to then be faithful and to live devoted to him. There is another example where Peter says in Acts verse 10, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." It's kind of a connection of knowing that God does not pick one person or favor one person over another. He does not judge and say, this man has sinned twice and this man has sinned 10 times, so I will favor the man who has sinned only twice and only forgive him. God has no partiality, so we must continue to follow in God's steps and by his example, not show partiality to ourselves. To say, oh, I no longer like myself because I have sinned and I have done wrong and I cannot forgive myself, that is not following God. If God does not show partiality, then we should not show partiality to ourselves as well. There's another scripture passage from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9, where the words say, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." This is a reminder that everything from God is right, is praiseworthy, is pure, is lovely, is admirable. And if we say we truly love God and are so thankful for God's presence in our life, wouldn't we want to put into practice God's ways? That includes God giving forgiveness to people, as we've learned in the scriptures, and being able to put that into practice ourselves by starting with giving forgiveness to ourselves as well. So we must continue to know that God acts in ways of giving forgiveness to others and to ourselves, that we must in turn follow God and be able to forgive ourselves. So the second reflection question is, what does God teach us about forgiving others? And think about, and even think about other examples in the Bible about forgiving ourselves and forgiving others, and share them later with your fellow brothers and sisters of the church. Because we want to be able to say we forgive ourselves, even though, yes, we are our own worst critics, to be able to say we are going to change our belief system and not let the burden of guilt and wrong weigh down on us, to, yes, recognize that we have sinned, but to know that because we have sinned and because God loved us so much that he gave Jesus Christ, Jesus in flesh form, as we see from this morning's passage. And next Sunday, I will talk more about that and how when you say you accept Jesus Christ in your life as your Lord and Savior, that you then follow not the law of Moses or the human law of flesh, but then you instead follow the law of Christ and can understand then how you can forgive yourself from your sins because Jesus Christ was that passage for forgiveness. Let us pray. Lord, we have come before you to hear your word, learning about forgiving ourselves. We ask, Lord, that you help us to not be our own harsh critics, that you open our hearts and minds to understand how we must change our way of believing, to not believe in the wrongs that we feel when we are guilty, but instead to believe in you and the way you lift us up through your Son, Jesus Christ, to know that we have, yes, sinned and are sinners, but also to know that we receive repentance and forgiveness from you. We ask, Lord, that you continue to be with us throughout this week until we return again next Sunday to continue to worship and praise you. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Now we do go into this time of communion together, the time where Jesus Christ knew he was going to offer himself up to be the sacrificial lamb as he sat down with his disciples and had the Last Supper. We do this act in remembrance of that today. Hear these words of invitation. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so, with the people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of our heart and mind, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, and to make disciples of all nations, and today his family in all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with you and your church throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry for all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The communion table is communion we do once a month in the Methodist Church. All are invited to come forward as they are able to receive a piece of bread and then a cup of juice. And then also you're invited to pray at the altar afterwards. Come as you're able.
To see the dawn of the Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Shall the weakness watch and pray, find in me thine all in all.
Let us pray. Lord, we remember the night where your son shared the meal with his disciples. We reflect on this night and know how important it is in our history and in our faith. And Lord, we ask that we remember the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed for us so that we may be faithful to you as we pray together the prayer that your son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven.